So I'm Pascal Gerard. I am the founder of Street Cube. I put it together over the course of several years, planning and thinking and more planning.
So could you tell us a bit about it, and could you tell us about the brand's ethos?
Well, Street Cube is basically an upcycled 10-foot shipping container. It's been professionally converted into a street kitchen. When we think of shipping containers, we might think of those bigger ones, the 20-foot ones or the 30 or 40-foot ones. This is actually a 10-foot by 8-foot container. So it's almost a cube. It's not quite. So street food was the market that I was looking at, because street food really for me has been able to bring back that pride and passion into cuisine, which empowers a chef to be able to contact directly with his audience and cook in front of them. There's great theatre in that street food area. So it's a massive upgrade from a street food tent or a gazebo, if you like, into a more professional, solid, weatherproof, semi-permanent street kitchen. So it's been designed with the help of Bob Fox from NCASH, the National Caterers Association. So I consulted with him a few years ago and said, well, what's the easiest way of upgrading street food, making it safe, making it sustainable? We looked at food trucks and things like that. And those beautiful Citroen HY vans that you sometimes see at street food markets are terrific, but and they're quite old. And they've only got 3-speed gearboxes. They're hugely expensive to buy and then to convert and then to upkeep and then to insure. So they're very valuable. And so I wanted to find a way that was equally as attractive as using something like a Citroen HY, but that was a lot more easier, a lot more affordable to make. So, I took the 10-foot container. With the help of Bob Fox, we designed this really high-end professional street kitchen. So it's stainless steel, it has extraction, it has electric. There's no gas, because I wanted it to be zero emissions. So we have solar power on the roof. We have a living wall on the side, which is kind of looks after itself, really. We plant it. It's made from it's made from 70-year-old Douglas fir, which is wood that we used from a woodland in Dorset called Conyngham Coppice. Conyngham Coppice is ancient woodland, and in the 1930s, a lot of those indigenous local trees were chopped down to make way for this Douglas fir, which was used heavily in the building trade in London. But when they chopped all those indigenous trees down, they lost a lot of natural habitats, a lot of wildlife, and things were forsaken for these Douglas fir trees. So we're helping to restore that natural woodland back to its original state, you know, replanting old indigenous trees and using that Douglas fir to make these living walls. I looked everywhere for these living walls. All I could find were plastic ones. People that would say, well, we've got the patent on this living wall, but it's plastic. We didn't want to use plastic. So we're using this original wood, which is terrific. It's naturally weathered, and it sits on the side of these 10-foot shipping containers. I mean, if you're ever driving through Wandsworth, you can't miss it, because it's just now growing with this beautiful, you know, array of, you know, natural herbs and flowers and plants are growing out the side of it. So it's unmissable. But yeah.
So how did you come up with the concept of Street Cube?
Well, the concept, really, as I said, I wanted to find a way to help chefs get back into high footfall city centres. Over the years, we tend to have lost the independent chefs. We have a lot of restaurant chains that have come into the high footfall city centres, because the cost of real estate, you know, property has gone so high. You know, the cost of setting up a restaurant in a town centre or a city centre is not affordable to, you know, the average chef. In places like France, for example, you've very much got that husband and wife team. You've got the chef that is back of house doing the cooking, the husband, and often the wife is at the front of house, waitressing and looking after the customers. And that model works really well because it's affordable and, you know, it's a genuine sort of husband and wife team. But here, property prices got so high and the cost of rates and the cost of being in the centre of our communities, in our towns and cities, was just too expensive. So over the last sort of 30, 40 years, what we've seen is an influx of, you know, big corporate organisations coming in and you know, sort of taking over. I mean, you go to one town, you'll see the same fast food brands that operate there. You go to another town, you'll see an exact replica of those same chains. You know, we all know which ones they are. Those fast food chains selling, you know, high fat, high sugar, high sodium, same style food, which is often produced in centralized kitchens and then farmed out to the many branches of the same, you know, the same type. So, so yeah, I wanted to find a way to bring back, you know, passionate chefs into our towns and cities. And I saw that passion in street food markets. I saw that you know, unique interaction between the chef and the audience was just so valuable, so special. And so I wanted to find a way of doing that affordably, financially sustainable for the chefs, but to bring about a more, you know, a better style of food, a food that was more healthy for us, because, you know, over the years we are seeing increasing rates of obesity, childhood obesity, diabetes, allergies, you know, food-related illnesses that really we can't keep on. We can't sustain that. We have to look at a different way of nourishing the population. So, Street Cube has been, you know, created really out of all those, looking at all these problems. And on top of that, we have climate change to deal with. So it was really to come up with a solution that could address all those issues in the most cost-effective way. So I looked at the 10-foot shipping container. These are containers that are made in China and that travel, you know, thousands of miles, bringing goods across the Pacific and the Atlantic. I mean, our containers have done hundreds of thousands of miles and transported consumer goods all around the world. And they end up at our ports. We don't really ship enough out of the UK, especially back to China. So there's an abundance of 10-foot shipping containers, and so we use them. And as a chef myself, I trained many years as a chef. I've worked in many smaller spaces than a 10-foot container. And so I knew that really, for a chef that's doing a simple menu like a street food menu, that sort of space is ideal. And so with the help of NCAS and Bob Fox, we designed the interior, you know, that was perfectly, you know, right for the chef, that had stainless steel extraction, you know, electric sockets and everything that the chef needs, space, and put hatches on the side that open directly to the audience. So the chef's got that direct contact with his clientele.
So how did you all team up together?
So I bumped into Ollie many years ago because Ollie used to work in television and I did one or two things back in the day as well. But we re-met again at the Sustainable Restaurant Association. What is that event? What was it?
It was just the annual awards ceremony. So giving awards out to members who've done well in terms of sustainability.
Yeah.
And you stood out a bit, Pascal. I was a bit of a silver fox. I know we're on the radio station, but he is. And then I started talking to him because you can be in these parties and surrounded by boring people. And it was interesting to talk to him. Very quickly we came across a common ground, which was food. Sustainable food, delicious food, delivered at a good price point, and he told me about his project, and I very foolishly agreed to get on board and help him, and it's been a great journey so far, and I think what he's delivered is brilliant. We've also got a wonderful young lady in the room called Gloria, who we'll have to introduce herself in a minute, but she's one of our new operators as well, so it'd be lovely to talk about what you're doing.
Yeah. Hi, I'm Gloria. I'm actually the co-founder of Lulu Southfield, which is just a startup who provide delicious, tasty, organic, vegan food across the... Well, right now it's in Wimbledon, but we're going to be across about in London as well. So what we have is all the organically sourced vegan dumplings, as well as baos, which can be herbal gin taste or like the tofu flavor with the different dipping and varied by week. So we can ensure that we have different kind of flavors to provide to the consumers. And what we do is actually to telling people that the Chinese vegan food can be as delicious as Western diet style, because as you all know that Chinese people eat a diverse variety of food, but it's not a big deal in China that to have vegan food like in the Western country. So that's what we're going to be delivered to everybody, not only the Western people, but as well as telling the Asian people that sustainable diet is really important nowadays, not only for your health issues, but as well as for the sustainable planet.
So in general, have you seen like many more people showing interest in like vegan food and sustainable foods?
Yeah, definitely. Since 3 years ago, when I first came here, I didn't notice there's so many dairy alternative or like vegan food or dairy free products. But as you can see now, not only in the supermarket, but as well as in the chocolate shop, like Hotel Chocolate, they also provide the vegan food as well. And some cosmetics, they are going vegan because everyone know the climate change is actually happening. And if we couldn't do anything with the population growth, we're going to be starving. Like in 2050.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, is that big word sustainability that tends to crop up that people know about, but what does it actually mean in terms of food? Well, our industrial food system is responsible for more than 60% of all greenhouse gas emissions. So we can eat more sustainably. And there are many faux pas that are happening that we need to change. So things like, beef and cattle industry that's, being fed on GM soy, using up vast amounts of the Amazon rainforest to graze. And that's certainly something that we have to change. I mean, we're not saying you must all be vegans, because if that suddenly happens, then there'd be another problem, it'd be a different problem. But we have to certainly cut down on red meat and really sort of maybe look back to the way things were in our previous generations, where they would have, Sunday roast, once a week or once a fortnight, and then use the leftovers of that meat to last through the week. But certainly, Gloria, in fact, is doing the course at City University with Tim Lang. It's the MSc food policy course. And that excites us a great deal, because Tim Lang is probably the foremost expert in sustainable diets, isn't he? Sustainable mm-hmm. food. And is a policy advisor, central policy advisor on sustainable diets. We're delighted to have Lulu's, coming into Street Cube at Wandsworth. So they're going to be opening up fairly soon. In the next couple of weeks or so, they'll be ready. We've got two cubes there. The first cube is run by a fabulous chef called Rashid Radi, who is Moroccan. And he runs that with his partner, Annabelle Morel, who...
Like the mushroom, yep.
Who's Spanish. So they met, I think, in the Sahara. They were doing some travelling, and Rashid has worked at the Savoy Hotel, so he's a well trained chef, and they put together a fantastic menu. The thing that excites me most about their menu is a dish called the bean tagine, which uses British grown organic lentils, pulses, and peas. So a lot of rare varieties of peas as well, which is really important, because we've begun to shrink the diversity of our diets down quite a lot with the global food system. Food industry, as I call it, industry by design seeks to be efficient and profitable. And it's not efficient and profitable for them to have huge varieties of different food items. It's more profitable, more easy for them to shrink that down and have one great big field of one item. But that's not what's good for people or planet. So it's, you know, over the years, and I'm sure that Gloria can maybe help me on some of this, because I'm no expert, but we have shrunk our diets down. The vocabulary of our diet has really diminished. So we're actually, you know, there's a lot of health deficiencies, a lot of nutrition deficiency in the UK.
Yeah, as far as I know, that malnutrition is not only in developing countries, it's in developed countries such as US and UK as well. So it's for less consumption as well as overconsumption. It's not only for people who are like starving, but also people who eat too much. And then for the people who eat too much, it's just so hard for them to change their diet. And one of the key point is because of the cooking method. If they know how to cook well, if they know how to choose their diet, it probably be gonna be a change for the sustainable diet.
Well, that's true, and obviously where we saw the problem is that in a lot of these city centres, there just isn't that choice available because it's, you know, occupied or dominated by a lot of these fast food chains, because of the cost. You know, the cost of setting up. You know, on average, it costs about £600,000-£700,000 to set up a restaurant. You know, you've got staff costs and you've got premium leases, and you know, it's just a lot of money. It's out of the reach of the average chef to be able to do that.
And we would love to use this opportunity as well to find some fantastic chefs in the local area that you broadcast to. So anyone who's interested, please contact the website, www.streetcube.org. Lots of information on their brilliant website, interactive, and you'll find out a lot more about us there. And you can there are forms you can fill in.
Yeah, we really do welcome chefs that are passionate about what's right for people and planet in terms of dietary and planetary health.
Guys who are ready, who might not want, like you said, who don't want the restaurant, can't afford the restaurant, and want to use the queue, which is a fraction of the cost, a fraction of the risk. And it's a lovely way where you can interact directly with the customer and hone your craft.
And of course, you know, these days we have a lot of third-party delivery agents as well. It can be very expensive to set up a restaurant, but a Street Cube, I mean, all we ask for is rent. And, you know, we're finding our feet here in Wandsworth. It's a great area. It's a changing demographic, and we're situated right on the front of the piazza at Southside in Wandsworth. So you can't miss us when you're going down the A3 High Street, Wandsworth High Street. You'll see us. We've got growing
oasis of colour.
Yes, a beacon of light.
Yes, a beacon of light. What's the other great tag?
Good food
doesn't have to
cost the earth. Good food doesn't have to cost the earth.
Exactly. It's great. You are what you eat.
Yeah,
so absolutely. So you're in Wandsworth now. Have you got any plans for any more other locations that you could tell us about?
Very much so. I mean, ideally, I'd like to be on the South Bank. I'd like to be in Leicester Square. I'd like to be in Covent Garden. Yeah, those high footfall places where we need to connect with and feed as many people as we possibly can. But yes, eventually, yes, nationwide. I mean, that would be fantastic.
We would love to work with landowners who share that sustainability vision, because a lot of companies have a sustainability charter, and by having Street Cube on your land, you can satisfy that to a degree, because you're employing local people, you're using local produce, which again local people are then employed, and I just think that's one of the real good plus points of it.
Yeah, we've got a few guidelines that we work to at Street Cube. We basically can sum them up by saying local, seasonal, organic, zero plastics, zero waste, sustainable. So sustainable for people and planet. So, you know, health and nutrition is a very important part of what we do. And as Gloria can demonstrate, you know, that every culture, every style of food, every character of food can be adapted to be more sustainable. You know, we want to give chefs that platform where they can express their own characters. You know, Rashid is from Morocco and he puts wonderful, you know, flavors into the food that he cooks. Gloria and Mimi From Shanghai, right?
Yes.
So the Shanghai dumpling is quite famous, but it's quite specialised, isn't it?
It is, but mainly in China, in Shanghai, we eat the dumplings or the buns. It's with the filling of meat, like for example, pork or sometimes chicken, with some of the veggies. But what we're going to do is to trying to do the sustainable diet in terms of providing more vegan fillings. Mm. And that also a good combination, like bamboo shoot and shiitake mushroom. If you never try, you don't know how amazing it is.
Yeah, and the important thing is that it's such a versatile type of dish that you can go through the seasons. And seasonal food is really important because, you know, if we're buying from a more local supply, then we're cutting down on those food miles, you know, the food that's grown in out of season in far-flung countries. And it's partly we all have a responsibility in choosing what we eat. And if we all ate a more sustainable meal just three times a week, we really would stop climate change. That's the whole world. So by considering, you know, what's seasonal, you're also considering what's healthy for you, because food that's picked in season and picked at the peak of its freshness has the optimum amount of nutrients in that piece of food. The minute you pick a carrot or a fruit, you're starting to lose that nutrition, aren't you? And I think it degrades quite rapidly. So food that's grown out of season in far-flung countries, wrapped in plastic and then flown in many cases, it's air freighted into the UK. Sometimes now we've come to expect to have asparagus in February and strawberries in December.
That's the value loss during the transportation. So like during the supply chain, you actually can add it value without like being produced more carbon footprint. But when you doing a really long transportation, you lose value for as well as the
nutrients.
Yeah,
absolutely. And of course, you know, to prolong that journey time, you wrap the food in plastic, and we all know that plastic is a huge problem. Mm-hmm. So by choosing a more locally grown food source that's seasonal, you're cutting down that long journey time. Really, we want the food to have that contact with the soil as long as possible, but it has to be good soil. It can't be soil that's used, you know, that's heavily chemicalized, or that's not the right word, is heavily fertilized and chemical pesticides. Soil degradation. There's a lot of concern at the moment for glyphosate, isn't there?
Yes.
That's another story, but that's certainly something that a lot of councils need to start looking at now, because, we actually don't know why we're losing a lot of our bee population, but glyphosate is certainly one that's been linked, because it has effects on the gut, not just of the bee, but as actually of us as well. So a lot of gut health problems are relative to the amount of pesticides and insecticides that are used in industrial farming methods. And less than one, well, I think it's over 1% of our food in this country is organic. And when we say that word organic, sometimes people go, oh, what does it mean? What is organic? Well, organic is the food that we always used to eat. You know, the food that was always healthy for us. And now over the last 50 years, we've become to rely on a more industrial style of farming, which is using food that's grown in soil, which is heavily pesticides. And the problem with using pesticides is that the food becomes more resistant to pesticides, or the weeds do, you know. So they spray more and more pesticides into the soil, which is really, really dangerous for the soil and for us. So, yeah, so we have those rules: organic, local, seasonal, zero plastic, zero waste, sustainable. So good for people and planet.
Yeah, I think large scale impact actually need people's collaboration towards that sustainable diet goal, as well as the SDG goals. But it just need to start with it to let people know about everything that happens now.
The SDGs, as Gloria said, the Sustainable Development Goals, these are 17 main topics, aren't they, that were agreed upon by 193 nations. In fact, every nation on Earth has agreed and signed this historic agreement in 2015. The Sustainable Development Goals for the United Nations blueprint set of critical global agendas that we must all work towards to help to reduce waste and reduce
zero
the impacts
hunger,
of
no poverty, like towards 2050. It's about every single country.
That's right. It engages all 7 billion humans on the planet. So we all have a connection with the Sustainable Development Goals. So I based the ethos of Street Cube on sustainability and using those 17 Sustainable Development Goals. And those goals have been distilled. Well, 11 of those goals relate directly to food. Okay, so food is the most important thing in terms of sustainability and planetary health and human health. But we also work very closely with an organization called the Chef's Manifesto. And the Chef's Manifesto are a fantastic team. In fact, they have a global reach. And they work out of Omved Gardens in Highgate. And the Chef's Manifesto helps to distill those criteria of the Sustainable Development Goals into 8 very clear and very easy to remember pledges. You could ask me what they are. I don't have them written down.
it's good homework for people to check it out. Yeah. Don't want to give away too much, Pascal. Remember.
Yes, look it up. It's on our website at www.streetcube.org.
And so I just wanted to know, did you have any challenges that you faced when you were setting it up? When you're setting up Street Cube?
Yeah, lots of challenges.
Still to this day, but that's normal, isn't it? When you start a business, you're learning on your feet a lot of the time.
Yeah.
But, Pascal, you're the best because you're, unfortunately, he's the managing director, the owner, the creator, so it really falls on his shoulders the most.
Yeah. Well, I just rang Ollie up and said, Ollie, can you help me fix this? And there he was. But no, we had lots of challenges. How to basically design a kitchen so that it would fit, first of all, and that would be ideal, perfect for the chef to be able to cook and to serve and to manage. And having worked in many kitchens, I knew what was needed, but I had to go to Bob Foxter to help me to sort of put that into legal form and to make sure that it was all fitting in the right places. So challenges with that. The cubes themselves weigh a ton. They're a metric ton, so not so easy to put into position. You have to have a crane. So in order to do that, a crane is like 20 tons. So the cube is a ton, crane is 20 ton. You've got to test the ground strength. You've got to make sure that the site RAMS is done. The RAMS is risk assessment and method statement, I think. So that's what that stands for. So the ground has to be tested. The crane has to be able to have access, and then you have to put the cube down. So another issue that I didn't sort of bank on was that the ground at Wandsworth Southside is slightly unlevel. I thought it was flat, so when we delivered the cubes it was slightly off, so that buckled the back doors, it jammed the locks in position, so I couldn't open the doors, so I had to have a locksmith come down and drill the locks out the very next day, as we couldn't get in the cube. So other things like the gas struts.
A time I've had a phone call from Pascal slightly exasperated but still holding on about 11 p.m. I'm watering the plants on the living wall.
Yeah.
I'm wrestling with the solar panel on the roof. So yeah. he really has been a good hands-on boss.
Yeah, solar panels and getting those installed, getting the living wall installed. I had to do that myself.
Beautiful graffiti artist, you got to do the images on the cubes.
Yeah, well, that's the other thing. If you come from a certain direction, if you're on foot, because I think on car you'll be going the wrong way, but on the other side of the cubes we've got fantastic graffiti and painted wildlife. And we've got endangered.
Bumblebees and a beautiful woodland scene. So, brand-wise, you can see this oasis of colour, hopefully, against the grey metropolis. And it's just, like, as you say, a beacon for good food. Bring in the people.
So, yeah, I was so chuffed to meet Ollie at the Sustainable Restaurant Association event. And as you said, we did hit it off straight away. We've got so many similarities. My father's French, his father's French. We both grew up with those flamboyant fathers, an English mum, and love of food and cooking. Ollie's been privy to the manoir quatre saisons for all your life, haven't you? You grew up with that in your...
Yeah, I grew up, my mother's a cordon bleu chef and a great business person in her own right, so there's a bit of pressure from the two parents, not directly, but indirectly. But it's a fantastic project, and it's right at the correct time. You can see in the media there's this constant concern, and it's all linked. Your environment is linked to this, your food systems are linked to it, dietary requirements are linked to it, so your actual personal health. It's one big narrative, and we need to recognise that, because I think too many people trust, and I understand why, but they blindly trust that what they eat from the shelf is going to be good for them. And unfortunately, because of, like Pascal said, of the post-industrialisation of food, there's been far too much chemicals entering our food chain.
Too much onus on profit, and not enough on health. I think we
a lot of food should be more just about than feeding the hole in your stomach.
Of course,
I think it should be about enjoyment. For me, it's one of the great primary enjoyments, and I don't think that should be just left for the middle class to enjoy. I think food, if you talk about human rights, that food is a real human right to eat, and to eat well in terms of nutritionally and enjoy what you're eating.
Yeah, and at the right price, of course. Yeah. Good food shouldn't be exclusive for the wealthy. I think that everybody has a basic human right to have access to absolutely to everyone. Yeah. And I'd love to start a campaign for to bring down the price of organic food. You know, subsidize organic food, because we need, we need that health. We need to reduce the amount of pesticides and chemicals that are in our foods. We need to improve public health, and as Gloria said, you are what you eat. Mm-hmm. That's why we always
say. Gloria looks great, by the way. Again, you can't see on radio, but she's like the picture of health.
I should say thank you for
on
that.
Sustainable food ingredients, I'm thinking.
Yeah, so we're really excited about inviting Gloria and Mimi to open Lulu's with us in a very short time. So yeah, we'd like to invite the listeners to come along and taste some of that food from the Hungry Bedouin at Street Cube and from Lulu's at Street Cube.
Follow us on at Lulu Southfield on Instagram, so you can see what we have every week and what we occasionally provide you with, all the fresh organic ingredients.
And so could you tell us about the opening, like when it is and when people can come down?
We've already had it. So the opening was fantastic. We celebrate that every weekend, by the way, and every day during the week. But we were fortunate enough to invite Raymond Blanc to come along. And he did, didn't he?
Yeah.
Very kind of him. Out of his very busy schedule, I think his diary is booked up for the next 3 years. So we were delighted that he came down to help us. Unfortunately, the weather wasn't great that day, was it? We had hailstones in the middle of it, didn't we? And everybody scarpered the whole of the piazza. Everyone just lit.
But he brings his own sunshine, so
he does. And that was a great day. We had a small sort of press opening, didn't we?
You brought that beautiful musician who came down and played the guitar.
That's right. We had Miguel Montalban to come down. David Gilmour describes him as the best guitarist of his generation in the world today, so we were lucky to have him. What else? Yeah, so additionally, when I was developing Street Cube, I knew that I know what I know. I mean, I not about food, I don't know about cooking. I know a certain type of cooking. I mean, when I started training in 1980, whatever it was, the trend was nouvelle cuisine, and that was like to create beautiful looking dishes on big white plates, obviously with good quality ingredients. That was the style. It was French. It was, a certain quality of food. Food trends change. And so, but my chef who trained me, Patrick Velvoux, unfortunately, he's got stomach cancer. He's dying of a food-related health condition. My daughter was born with celiac disease. She's 11 years old now. And, my partner and I couldn't work out why she's got this disease. I'm sure many parents can't work out why their children have got these food-related allergies, nut allergies and all sorts of other allergies. A lot of us can't really work out why we all seem to be putting on weight. There's so many toxins in our food that our bodies are working against us. The autoimmune system is fighting itself in a way. So, we're looking at lots of different food problems, food-related health problems. But if we all try to go back to a more organic, more natural diet, then there's still hope.
So lastly, do you think we could see many more like sustainable restaurants like Street Cube in the future?
Well, I hope so. I mean, I made them sustainable in every way, financially sustainable as well. They're relatively inexpensive to build. I mean, they're not cheap to build, but they are relatively affordable. And what I'm looking for is support from local authority, from local councils, to give us that space and give us the support to open up. And it does need support. You know, every part of it needs to be sustainable. That's including the chefs need to make their own money. They need to be motivated. So really, you know, paying high rents and stuff for land. I mean, these are only 10-foot boxes. They can go out as easy as they can go in. So, you know, no need for planning permission, no need to build anything. It's basically put a street cube in the middle of a high footfall city centre, and we can develop a little food culture, you know, to attract more footfall and to you know, revive a certain area and make it more vibrant. But I look to place three or four street cubes together. I call it a cluster of street cubes, because really it's still a 10-foot by 8-foot kitchen. You're not going to be able to produce, you know, 15 starters, 15 main course, and half a dozen desserts.
It's got to be simple, and what is offered is brilliant and beautiful, yeah. And you know what you're going to get.
Yeah.
I think it's definitely the future. When you start going into supermarkets, the big boys, and you see whole aisles full of gluten-free, meat-free, vegan, you know, it's fantastic. And that's good for us, good for the consumer, because they're demanding more. They want more knowledge, more accountability, which means the suppliers suddenly have to up their game a bit, and rightfully so, because you are what you eat. So what you're putting in your mouth is vitally important for you and the planet.
And yeah. The number of vegans just quadrupled since 2014, around like 16 million right now. So as long as you have the market demand, like, people are craving for the vegan food, and vegan food already become a trend on Instagram.
Yeah.
And people are posting these kind of like cute like vegan bowls, smoothies. So that's how it goes.
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, three or four street cubes together is what I call a cluster. And as they're quite limited menus, so, you know, a quarter of a menu, if you like. So you have four street cubes together, you've got one whole menu. So, yeah, deliveries is something that we really want to look closely at. So working with the right kind of delivery agents, using electric bikes or push bikes as well. So where you can order from one, and you can order from all of them at the same time to make one full menu, one delivery, you know, again, reducing, you know, emissions and other things, making it more sustainable.
Thanks for talking with us. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.